Chapter 5. A New Life. The cub came upon them suddenly. Taking a different path down to the stream, he smelled a strange scent. In front of him were five live creatures. It was his first sight of men. But the live things did not show their teeth and growl. They just sat there, silent and mysterious. The cub's instinct told him to turn and run, but a new feeling made him stay. He was spellbound by a sense of mastery and power. A man got up and walked towards him, towering over him. The man bent down. The cub's hair bristled. His lips went into a snarl, showing his little fangs. The man laughed. "Look," he called to his friends. "White fangs." And he stretched out his hand. The cub lay still until the hand touched him. Then he lashed out and sank his teeth into the man's fingers. At once he received a sharp smack on his head. At that, all the fight went out of him. He sat down and wailed his terror and his hurt. The men laughed, but then he heard his mother coming. She-wolf bounded up, snarling and showing her razor-like fangs. The cub gave a joyful little cry and scuttled to meet her. The man-animals backed off hastily. Then a cry went up from one of the men. "Keisha!" The cub felt his mother quiver at the sound. "Keisha!" said the man again sharply. At once, his mother, the she-wolf, the fearless one, crouched down on her belly. She wagged her tail, making peace signs. The cub could not understand it. These strange creatures must be all-powerful for his mother to behave like this. The men crowded round She-Wolf. They stroked and patted her, and she didn't resist. The cub crouched by his mother, and did his best to copy her. "It is Keisha," said one of the men, called Grey Beaver. "Her father was a wolf, but her mother was a dog." "It's a year since she ran away," said another man called Three Eagles. "She has lived with wolves. See, this cub is the result of it." "It is plain that his mother is Keisha," said Grey Beaver. "But his father was a wolf. Therefore he has both wolf and dog in him too. Keisha was my brother's dog, and my brother is dead. So I claim this cub as mine." He looked at the cub and smiled. "His fangs are very white. I name him White Fang." Grey Beaver fetched a leather strap. He tied one end around Keisha's neck and the other around a tree. White Fang followed and lay down beside his mother. Grey Beaver reached down and rolled him on his back. White Fang felt helpless, lying in such a silly way, and his whole wolf nature rebelled against it. He growled softly, but the man-animal did not smack him. He just laughed. Then all of a sudden, the hand rubbed his tummy playfully, and White Fang felt a new feeling. It was pleasure. And when the man rubbed behind his ears, the cub felt all his fear melt away. After a while, there were more noises. The rest of the tribe was returning. With them came some new animals. White Fang had never seen dogs before, but knew that they were like his own kind, but not quite. The dogs smelled Keisha and her cub and attacked, biting and snapping at them. Keisha then fought for White Fang, and the cub could hear shouts of the man-animals and the yelps of the dogs as they were beaten away. The noise died down. He saw again the power of men, and felt that they had been fair. The dogs had deserved to be beaten. A small man-animal untied Keisha and led her away towards the village. White Fang followed, feeling worried and uncomfortable at this new adventure. He was awestruck at the village and its towering teepees. He was just gathering up the courage to explore when a puppy, larger and older than he was, came swaggering towards him. The puppy's name was Lip-Lip, and he was a bully. Lip-Lip curled his lips and snarled. So White Fang did the same. They circled each other, bristling and snapping. White Fang was starting to enjoy himself. It was a sort of game. Then suddenly, without warning, Lip-Lip leapt at him, slashing his leg. Yelping with shame, the little cub ran back to his mother, who had been tied to another tree at the end of a long leash. Later that day, White Fang was watching Grey Beaver doing something with sticks and branches. There was a strange mist rising from the pile of wood. Then suddenly a living thing appeared. Brilliant orange, twisting and turning. The cub had never seen fire, but he was drawn towards it. He crawled towards the flame. He heard Grey Beaver make a chuckling noise and knew the sound was friendly. Then White Fang's nose touched the fire. The savage orange thing attacked his nose. He scrambled back, crying in pain. His mother heard his cries and strained uselessly to rescue him, but Grey Beaver laughed and laughed and called the rest of the camp to watch. Soon they were all laughing at poor little White Fang with his burnt nose. It was the worst pain he had ever known, but the more he cried, the more the man-animals laughed. And then he felt ashamed. He now knew what laughter meant, that they thought him foolish. He fled once again to his mother, the one creature in the world who was not laughing. Night came. White Fang lay by his mother's side, longing for the quiet of the stream and their cozy cave. There were too many of these dogs and man-animals, all squabbling and snapping and making a noise. He watched the man-animals. They were wonder-workers, magic-makers, and had power over all things, alive and not alive. They could make that vicious thing called fire.